Okay, today's daf is Yomad Daf Chet. We're at the top of Chet Amud Aleph. We're right in the middle of a machloket as to whether or not the tzitz was maratzeh, meaning whether the forehead plate of the Kohen Gadol would atone for certain minor infractions that happened in the process of a korban, even when he wasn't wearing it. Right? Rabbi Shimon the Amar Tamid maratzeh v'achdiv al mitzcho v'nasa. According to Rabbi Shimon, who believes that the tzitz always affects this atonement, even when it's not on the forehead. But what does he do with the pasuk that says that the tzitz needs to be on the forehead, and then there's atonement? Right, that's just to teach you that it needs to, that its primary place is on the forehead. It's not to say that it only affects the kapara if it's on the forehead, but just that its job is to affect kapara, and where do you put it? You put it on the forehead. I have to know where you put it. Right? For Rabbi Yehuda, like boil and welcome in Ale. So how does Rabbi Yehuda learn just the basic, you know, position of where it's supposed to go if he uses this pasuk for something else? Nafkalebe al mitzcho. It says later on, the end of the pasuk, al mitzcho. Right? So it's very clear where it goes. Rabbi Shimon namitebu gleme al mitzcho. Well, if, you know, that being the case, Rabbi Shimon should also learn it from Al Mitzcho. That happens at the end of the pasuk. That's, you know, that's a great place to learn that the makom of the tzitz is on the forehead, and you shouldn't have used that previous pasuk to teach you this. Inachinami, the truth is, yeah, that's a good point. He can learn the official place of the tzitz is on the forehead from there. Ela al metzach v'nasa may avidle. So that is where he can learn it from, and yet he still does something else with al metzach v'nasa. He does something else with it to teach you, or rather that he does something else with that pasuk so that he can still maintain his position that the tzitz works no matter where it is at that given time. And what does he do with the pasuk? Amar lach ra'ui lemetzach meratze she'en ra'ui lemetzach en meratze la'pukin nishbar tzitz lo meratze. Right? Because what that teaches you is it needs to be fitting to be put on the forehead at all times. What does that mean? If it's broken, it doesn't work. Right? If it's broken, it's not fit to put on your forehead at that time, and that's why it doesn't work. However, even if it's not on the forehead, but it's fit to be put on the forehead, that's when it works. So Rabbi Yehuda nishbar tzitz minale. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that if the tzitz is broken, it doesn't work? Nafkale mi metzach mitzcho. Right? Well, he learns it from the fact that the pasuk could have written metzach instead of written mitzcho. His forehead, to show it has to be fit for his forehead at any given time, and that's an additional din he learns from the fact that it says mitzcho as opposed to metzach. Rabbi Shimon metzach mitzcho lo mashmalei. Rabbi Shimon doesn't think that additional vav is significant to teaching you halacha. Nimahan nitanai kahani tanai. Well, maybe these tanaim have the same machloket as these other tanaim, right? De tanya echad zeh ve'echad zeh mazin alav kol shiva mikol chatao shayusham divrei meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer in mazin alav ela shlishi yushvi bilva. So we're returning to the topic of tuma hutra b'tzibor or tuma dechuya b'tzibor, right? Whether there is just no problem with it being tamei once it's a communal obligation, or if there is a problem, but it overrides that problem if need be. Okay, so we have the following machloket as to the sprinkling of the mechatat upon the Kohen in his time of separation, right? So the Rabbi Meir holds that both the Kohen before the Parah Aduma and the Kohen before Yom Kippur needs sprinkling every, you know, for a week before the service. That's Rabbi Meir. Shita Rabbi Yossi Omer Ein Matzin Alav Ela Shlishi Shvi Bilvad. According to Rabbi Yossi, you only do the sprinkling on the third and on the seventh. Right? Rabbi Chaim Nitzan Akonim Omer Kohen Asar V'Tapara Matzin Alav Kol Shiv Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim Ein Matzin Alav Ela Shlishi V'Shvi. And so Rabbi Chaim Nitzan Akonim is mechalek between the Kohen before the Paradum and the Kohen before the Avoda. But nonetheless, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, we see this machloket as to whether you need sprinkling every single day or sprinkling on the third and seventh. The pasuk only says on the third and seventh, right? That's very clear. The pasuk only requires on the third and seventh. The question, or why Rabbi Meir would require it on all 7 days, comes from a concern that maybe you miscalculated what was the third and what was the seventh, meaning if you became Tamei Meit, and you don't exactly know when you became Tamei Meit, maybe this is the third day, maybe this is the third day, maybe this is the third day, right? So you do the sprinkling every single day because it's absolutely critical that you have... It's absolutely critical that you have the sprinkling on the third and seventh day, right? Because if the second day that you were counting was really the third day since you became Tameh and you don't do the sprinkling, well then you're not Tahor, right? That's where it comes from. So no one thinks it's a Chiyuv Deoraita that is sprinkling on all 7 days. The question is, just how critical is it that he has the sprinkling on the third and the seventh? In which case, is it worth, you may have to do it every single day just in case, right? My love, B'hakim Iflegi. Now, should we not suggest that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi have the following machloket? Rabbi Meir savar tuma dechuya hibet zibor. Rabbi Yossi savar tuma heter hibet zibor. Right? That according to Rabbi Meir, the tuma is only dachoy, right? Because it's dachoy, we have to do anything we possibly can to make sure you're tahor. In which case, because we have a suffix as to what day you may have come in contact with the tuma, we sprinkle every single day. According to Rabbi Yossi, well, no, it's tuma hutra bet zibor. So we don't have to do everything we possibly can to make sure you're tahor. So we're going to sprinkle on the third and the seventh, like the pasuk says. And even if we were wrong, okay, so we were wrong. So but it's fine, you can still do the avoda. Vitizbra, is that really a logical assessment? Isavar Rabbi Yossi, heter hibet zibor, hazak la lamali. If Rabbi Yossi says that it's tuma hutra bet zibor, I shouldn't need to sprinkle him at all. Like, who cares? So you should do it tamei. Rather, both of these shitas hold that the tuma is dachoy b'tzibor, and that's why they have to go out of their way to tahar to be mitahar. Rather, they're having the following machloket. Rabbi Meir savar aminin tevila b'zmanu mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi savar lo aminin tevila b'zmanu mitzvah. Right. So according to Rabbi Meir, tevila b'zmana is a mitzvah, right? So you have a chiyuv to do tevila b'zmana. You have a chiyuv to become tahor as soon as you can become tahor. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not a mitzvah to become tahor as soon as you become tahor. Now, where do we learn the mitzvah or lack thereof to do the tevila? From the same pasuk as we learn the hazaa, right? From the same pasuk that we learn about sprinkling on the third and the seventh. So if you hold that the tevila b'zmana is a mitzvah, then you hold that the sprinkling is also a mitzvah and you must do it, and because you must do it, we're not sure when you do it, then we say you do it every day out of a suffix. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would say that, no, tefillah b'zmana is not a mitzvah, in which case it's not necessary to do it every single day, because just like the tefillah b'zmana isn't a mitzvah, so too the sprinkling on the third and seventh is not an absolute chova. V'sav Rabbi Yossi lo amrin tefillah b'zmana mitzvah. Wait one second, that implies that Rabbi Yossi doesn't think that tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah, right? How can you suggest that? V'hatan etin we learn in a baraita, harei shahaya shem katuv al pisro, harei ze lo yurchatz v'lo yisoch v'lo yamod b'makom ati nofet, that if someone had Hashem Hashem written on his skin, then he's not allowed to bathe himself, he's not allowed to anoint himself, he's not allowed to stand in a dirty place, right? Because you're not allowed to wash off and erase the Hashem Hashem, and you shouldn't stand in a filthy place because it's disrespectful to the Hashem Hashem. Nizdamna lo tevila shel mitzvah. But what if he has to do a tevila shel mitzvah? What if he has to purify himself in the mikvah? Korech alav gemi v'tovel. Then he should put a reed over it and then go to the mikvah to not erase Shem Hashem. Rabbi Yossi Omer yored v'tovel kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says no. He just goes and does the mikvah like normal. Vachalei shavshev, as long as he doesn't scrub the Shem Hashem. Right, and we explain the machloka there between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama as whether or not tefila b'zmana is a mitzvah. Right? It's a chiyuv to do the tefila exactly when you can. The Tanakama savar lo amrin tefila b'zmana mitzvah. According to the Tanakama, we don't say that tefila b'zmana is a mitzvah, and that's why there's nothing being doche the fact that you have to. There's nothing being docha, the problem with erasing the Shem Hashem, right? Whereas Rabbi Yossi says Amrin and Tevila b'zmana mitzvah. Because Rabbi Yossi holds the Tevila b'zmana as a mitzvah, then you have to go ahead and do the Tevila right then and there, and that would be docha, the problem that maybe you're going to erase Shem Hashem by going in, right? In which case, we see very clearly Rabbi Yossi holds Tevila b'zmana is a mitzvah. How did we establish a shita beforehand as saying Tevila b'zmana was not a mitzvah, and therefore the Hazo'ah b'shlishi b'shvi'i was not a mitzvah? In which case, we could take our chances that we're doing it on the wrong day, and we don't have to do it every single day. Ela d'chulei Amma. Rather, according to both of these Tanaim, Tvila Bizmana is a mitzvah. You must do Tvila in its appropriate time, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, and what is their machloket really about Rabbi Meir, Safar Makshin and Hazala Tvila, Rabbi Yossi Safar Lo, Makshin and Hazala Tvila. According to Rabbi Meir, we say just like Tvila Bizmana is a mitzvah, the Hazah, the sprinkling on the third and the seventh, which is in the same pasuk, is also a mitzvah because of that Hekesh. And Rabbi Yossi says, sure, that the Tvila Bizmana is a mitzvah, but we don't have that Hekesh to say that this Hazah is also a mitzvah. And that's where their machloket is as to whether or not we believe that the Hazah, like the Tvila, is a mitzvah. Okay, for Bechnina Skana Kohanim. So let's go to that third sheet. Bechnina Skana Kohanim was mechalik between the para and between the Kohen. The Kohen doing the para aduma service and the Kohen going to the Yom Kippur service. Now, what's the svara to mechalik? Imakish hazala tefila b'Yom Kippur im nami lo makish hazala tefila filu kohen asar v'te para nami lo. Right? So if you apply this svara, okay, so let's say you have this hekesh from tefila b'zmana to hazah. Then you have to do the hazah, and you should have to do the hazah both for the para and for the Kohen, for a full week. And if you don't hold by this hekesh, then you shouldn't have to do it for either of them. What's the svara lechalik? The olam lo makish. Really, Rabbi Chinan Iskan Akonim does not hold by this hekesh. He doesn't think that you have to do the hazah. He doesn't think you have to do the hazah. However, there's just a stringency. There's a rabbinic stringency to do the hazah by every single day by the para aduma. Kiman az laharatan rabbanan. Right? Who sheeted is the following bracha follow? Ein bein kohen asar v'tapara lakohen gadol b'yom kippurim elah shezeh peshuto l'kedusha ve'achav hakohanim nogim bo v'zeh peshuto l'tahara ve'achav hakohanim ein nogim bo. Right? So there's a bracha that was taught that said that there's no difference between this the separation period of the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, the separation period before of the Kohen Gadol before the Srifat HaPara Aduma, except for that we separate the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur just for the sake of Kedusha. He should be he should be alone, and he should be reflecting, and he should get himself to a high place before Yom Kippur. But Kohanim can come and visit him and touch him. It's not a problem, because it's not a problem of Tuma. However, according to the by the Kohen Srifat HaPara, by the Para Aduma, no, that's not for the sake of Kedusha. That's for the sake of Tahara. You have to be careful that he doesn't come contact with Tuma, and no one's allowed to touch him, right? Come on. So whose shita does it follow? Or Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi. What could it be? Rabbi Meir's shita, and it could be Rabbi Yossi's shita. The E Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim Ha'ika Namiha, right? Because I know it can't be Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim shita, because Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim is mechalik between the hazah, whether you do it every single day or just on the third and seventh. So you couldn't start a brighter by saying there's no difference between the two except for the tahara and the kedusha, because Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim holds this another difference, namely that they have different amounts of hazah. Matki for Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Bishlama Rishon, Shem Shlishi, Bishlama Rishon, Shem Shlishi, Sheni Shem Shlishi, Shlishi Shem Shlishi, Chamishi Shem Shvi'i, Shishi Shem Shvi'i, Shvi'i Shem Shvi'i. Right. So I understand why. So Rabbi Yossi challenged Rabbi Chanina's position, and he says, I understand why you're going to do a sprinkling. I understand according to your shita why you would do a sprinkling on the first day. Because maybe the first day of his separation is really 3 days since the last time he came in contact with Tuma, right? Because meaning when the pasuk tells you to do a sprinkling on the third and the seventh, it's not the third and the seventh day since the separation. It's really the third and the seventh day since he last came in contact with Tuma. So maybe the first day of his separation is really the third day since he came in contact with Tuma, right? And maybe the second day is the third day since he came in contact with Tuma. And maybe the third day of his separation was the third day since he came in contact with Tuma. So I have to do it on the first, second, and third. And furthermore, maybe the fifth is going to be the seventh. Maybe the fifth day of his separation is really the seventh day since he came in contact with Tuma. Maybe the sixth day is really the seventh day he came in contact with Tuma. And maybe the seventh day is really the seventh day he came in contact with Tuma. So I understand why you're doing on 5, 6, and 7. El Ravi Lamli Hazal Klal Lobashlishi Ika Svuke Vlobashvi Ikalisvuke. Right? Sapuke. Right? But why do you do a sprinkling on the fourth day? It doesn't make any sense. There's no way that the fourth day of his separation is really the third day since his last contact with Tuma. He's been separated for over 3 days. Right? And even if you want to say that the fourth day of his separation is the seventh day since his last contact with Tuma, it doesn't even help him, because the seventh needs to come after the third, right? You need to have the seventh, the sprinkling of the seventh day needs to be 4 days after the sprinkling of the third day. So even if his fourth day of separation is the seventh day since coming in contact with Tuma, that doesn't even help, because that's a sprinkling of the seventh day since his contact with Tuma, but the sprinkling of the seventh day has to come 4 days after the sprinkling of the third day, which it wouldn't be, because the sprinkling of the third, because,
Because his sprinkling for the third day could have been a day ago, right? Ulatameich, well, you know, and so he responds, and according to your opinion, Hazah kol shiva mi ika v'ha kaimelon da hazat shvut ve'ena dochet shabbat elamai lechalameimar shiva lebar mishabbat achanami shiva lebar mirevi'i. So it's according to your svara, meaning. According to your svara, that you assume that hazah kol shiva, when we say that you have to do the sprinkling for a week, we mean every single day that week. I already know that your svara is wrong. Why? Because hazah, the sprinkling of the blood, is a shvut. The sprinkling of the mechatan is a shvut, right? It's asur derabanan and it's not doche shabbat. So I know for a fact that we don't do it on shabbat. So when we say that you need it kol shiva, we just mean that you do it the full week. Not to say necessarily you do it every single day, but that you're doing it for a week. And it's not every single day because there's no way we're doing it on Shabbat, right? So, just like we say you sprinkle it for a week, even though you're not actually sprinkling it for a week, right? You're not like sprinkling it for 7 days. So do we say you sprinkle it for a week, even though you're not actually doing it for the Revi? Meaning, yeah, you're right. We don't need to do it on the fourth day, and we don't do it on the fourth day. And yet, we still call it sprinkling for a week, just like we don't do it on Shabbat, and we still call it sprinkling for a week. Amarava Hilka, Kohen Gadol beYom Kippurim Delo beDidan Talia Milta Ela beKviya deYarcha Talia Milta Betlata Betishrei Bayla Afrushei VeChol Emat deMitra Betlata Betishrei Mafrushin and Light. Okay, so let's make a conclusion. Right now, we have no control over when Yom Kippur is going to be. Right? In which case, whenever the third of Tishrei, whatever day that would be, we gotta separate him. However, Aval Kohen Aserva Tapara, the Bidida Antalya Milta, Mafrishin Lebe Revi'i B'Shabbat, Kiche Deditrami Revi'i Shalom B'Shabbat. However, because we can decide when we burn up the Para Aduma, so what do? We separate him on Yom Revi'i. Right? We separate him, on Yom Revi'i. That way, his Yom Revi'i falls on Shabbat. And because we're skipping Shabbat anyway, we'd rather skip fewer days rather than more. Because we're not doing it on Yom Revi'i and we're not doing it on Shabbat, so we'd rather his Yom Revi'i be on Shabbat, meaning the fourth day of his isolation. We'd rather that be on Shabbat, that way we can sprinkle on him 6 times as opposed to 5 times. Okay, going on, Lishkat Parhedrin. So we separate the Kohen into the Lishkat Parhedrin. Tanya, didn't we learn in a Braita Rabbi Yehuda v'chi Lishkat Parhedrin haita? V'halo Lishkat Balvate haita? We put him in the Lishkat Parhedrin. Don't we put him in the Lishkat Balvate? Ela b'tchila yu korin uta Lishkat Balvate mitoch shenot nin alav mamon l'kuhuna machlifin uta kol shnei masar chodesh k'parhedrin alalo shmachlifin uta kol shnei masar chodesh l'vichcha yu korin uta Lishkat Parhedrin. Originally it was called Lishkat Balvate, but a terrible thing started happening in Beit Sheni, which is that the Kohen Gadol would get his position generally by money, right? It was very corrupt. The Kohanim Gedolim were Rishaim. It was a very bad, very bad place to be in for Klal Yisrael. And honestly, the Kohen Gadol wouldn't make it out of the year, right? They would either die before Yom Kippur, or at least on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because they weren't fit to be doing the Avodah, right? And in fact, you would have the Kohanim switch out like once a year. In which case, they called it the Lishkat Parhedrin, because Parhedrin were appointed officials of the king who'd switch out every single year. So it was like a remez to the fact that the Kohanim were just being switched out every single year. We learned in the Mishnah that when it comes to bakers, the Chachamim only, if the bakers bought the bakers were careful about Truma and Meiser, but if they bought their wheat from Ameha Aretz, who were Choshesh, that they did not separate proper Truma and Meiser. So the Chachamim didn't make the bakers separate all of Trumot and Meiser from this demai, this suffolk wheat, right? Rather, they only made them do Trumot Meiser and Chala. Bishlam Truma Gedola lo. I understand why the Chachamim didn't make them do Truma Gedola. The Tanya we learned in the Braita, Lafisha Shalach Bechol Gevulei Yisrael V'ra'a She'em Mafrishin Ela Truma Gedola Bilvad, because they did an inspection and they found that Amei Haaretz actually did take Truma Gedola. So they didn't make the Nachtomim, the bakers, take Truma Gedola. Maser Rishon Maser Ani Nami Lo. And I understand why you don't have to take Maser Rishon Maser Ani Motzim Bechever Ola V'ra'a, because Maser Rishon Maser Ani, that's that would go to the Anim, or go to Levium, and let those who are going to receive it come and claim that the Amaretz didn't give it to them. Meaning, it's a suffix. It's a suffix whether they did or didn't, right? And what do we say when it's a suffix? Hamotzi michaveru alav araya. You want to prove that I have something of yours? Like, you're owed some of my wheat? Come prove to me that this Amaretz didn't already give it to someone else, right? In which case, maybe he didn't, and in general you should give because maybe he didn't, but hamotzi mechavero lav araya. In this case, we're going to say that whoever thinks that they deserve the wheat in my hand, they should come prove that the amaretz didn't take. Ela Meister Sheni, Nifreshu v'nisku v'nichal v'Yerushalayim. However, but by the Meister Sheni, really, like, you should have had him go to Yerushalayim with the Meister Sheni, right? Like as in all cases of Meister Sheni. Amar ula mitoch sheparhedrin alalu chovdin udol kol shnei masar chodesh ve'omrin lehem michru bezol lo atrichin rabbanan. Because the parhedrin, the king's officials, would go and force them under threat of beating them up every single year when they would switch out. They would come to the bakery and say, you better sell us cheap bread. You better sell us cheap bread. Keep it cheap, keep it cheap. So they didn't want to further burden the bakers by making them bring more meiser than they had to. So they said, you know, because they're forcing you to sell them so cheap, you can go ahead and withhold from bringing the meiser sheni. We'll stop here.